Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you online. I couldn't be with you last Sunday. Wasn't feeling too well, but it wasn't COVID. It's just a headache and a body ache, but I'm well now. Thank you for your prayers and thank you for your concern. I sweat a lot, so you know if you see me sweat, I brought a little hand fan so that I can keep myself cool. So I hope you won't be bothered by them. Today we celebrate the day of Pentecost. If you look at in the Bible in Acts chapter 2, Jesus, after he ascended into heaven, his followers were gathered together for the feast of harvest, and the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2:2, were filled with the whole house where they were sitting and praying. And if you look at verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. With the Holy Spirit, they began to live a new life. With the Holy Spirit, they began to speak the new language. With the Holy Spirit, you began to have a new set of values. You see, that's what happens when we receive Holy Spirit. We begin a new journey with God. We all have an understanding of who God is and who Jesus is, but it seems to be that the Holy Spirit, the third person of a Trinity, there's some discrepancies between the people of different denominations. See, I understood Holy Spirit to be an advocate, counselor, helper, comforter. I learned to believe, the moment that I repented my sin and became Christian, the Holy Spirit moved into my heart and took control of my life. And I give control of my life to Holy Spirit so that I can be led by him. Being filled with the Holy Spirit meant that I no longer have control over my life, but God has control over my life. Yet, as I am growing and as I'm meeting a lot of people, there seems to be quite a bit of different understanding and experiences of Holy Spirit. There are some people who say that you need to have a physical manifestation, physical reaction in order to have assurance of the presence of Holy Spirit. There are people who claim unless you experience the Holy Spirit, you are not genuinely saved. And there are those who claim that unless you have a gift of a spirit, you cannot say that you have Holy Spirit. Well, they have gifts such as speaking in tongue and gift of prophecy and all these things. Well, it's true. The Bible talks about it. But for those of us who do not have a clear physical manifestation, does that mean that the Holy Spirit is not with me or I am not really saved? I don't think so. Having experience is a good thing. However, the Holy Spirit is spoken to us. God has spoken to us about the Holy Spirit in the scripture. So we cannot label someone to be unspiritual or even unsaved simply because they do not have experience. I was watching one night a Christian program where this televangelist came out and with a whole bunch of people gathered and with the one hand sweeping motion, and he knocked off entire front pew, and they all fell down. And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and then they all fell down. And I thought, boy, that preacher, his Holy Spirit must be really powerful one, because when I, you know, swoop my hands and nothing happens. Am I not spiritual enough? Am I not strong enough? Do I not believe in the Holy Spirit who is powerful? That is not so. What's going on? Did Holy Spirit change over time? Is Holy Spirit showing himself different to different people? Is Holy Spirit really, you know, working in certain circumstances and not in others? Did I not experience Holy Spirit the way that I'm supposed to experience? Though millions of people claim that they have felt and experienced Holy Spirit, now the question is, there seems to be division among the people who have experience and who have not. There seems to be quite a bit of a turmoil between the ones who are spirit-filled and those who don't seem like spirit-filled. Those who have physical manifestation and who don't. Those who have gifts and who don't. You see, that's not what the teaching of the Bible is all about when it comes to Holy Spirit. The role of Holy Spirit is to unite, not to separate, not to divide. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says this, As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now listen to the last verse. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You see, the Spirit of God unites. With the bond of peace, it's able to unite people. It does not divide. It does not separate people. I do not want to discount the working of the Holy Spirit in today's church and today's Christians. I believe that Spirit can do more than what we can imagine and fathom. But I do believe that Holy Spirit works in many different ways, and we cannot discount other people's experiences. I do not believe in boxing in the Holy Spirit and making him manageable. Yet, when the children of God begins to fight over the issue, I don't believe that's what God intended for the Holy Spirit to promote in this world. We want to turn to today's passage. That passage begins actually John chapter 3 verses 1 and on. And it begins with this. Now there was a man of a Pharisee named Nicodemus, member of Jewish ruling council, who came to see Jesus and asking the question, you know, you are a great man. You do great miracles. You know, what can I do? He was asking the question, spiritual question of salvation. Now Jesus turns to him and says, you know, you must be born again. Unless you're born again, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus could not understand what Jesus was saying. How can a grown man be born again? How can a grown man enter into the womb of a mother and be born again? You see, his understanding was limited to flesh. All he could think about is what could be done in our own flesh. Jesus was speaking in a spiritual level while he was understanding in a flesh level. And Jesus talks about rebirth, born again. We have joy of just seeing our grandchild grow day by day. He was born almost a year ago, about 10 months ago. And he now is able to take steps, walk. We cannot see him because he's in LA and we cannot travel. So we're seeing him grow. He is just teething and he is walking. And every time our son and daughter-in-law sends us the video, we just rejoice seeing the changes. You see, baby is born with blank slate. Whatever we write on it, that will determine the future of a child. So it's important what we write on the blank slate of a baby. If we write something wonderful, beautiful, that child will grow up to be wonderful and beautiful. But if we put anything kind of negative, anything that is hurtful, harmful, then that will have a long-lasting effect. Likewise, when we are born again in God, Holy Spirit wants to write in our blank slate. We begin a new journey together. Until now, I lived my life the way I wanted to. I wrote my own story, but no longer. As we are born again, the Holy Spirit wants to write his, God's story upon our blank slate. Who is this Holy Spirit who is working with us? When we receive Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit enters us. And he desires to lead each one of us. And in order to be led, we need to give up certain things. To be born again means to live with a new standard, new value system, new rules. And you have to give up what you've been enjoying all this time. You see, when Nicodemus came to see Jesus, asking about his kingdom and asking about spiritual things, and when he was told he needed to be born again, he had a lot of things to lose if we were to begin a new life again. But unless you and I, as we receive Jesus Christ, unless we're willing to give up and be rewritten, then we cannot really experience what it means to be living and to be led by the Holy Spirit. When the Bible mentions the Holy Spirit, it describes as the air, the wind, or breath, the literal meaning. In Old Testament, the word that is used is ruach. It's a cool word, ruach. You have to kind of clear your throat to say that. In New Testament, the Holy Spirit is called pneuma. And both of these words means wind, air, breath. In the Old Testament, when God breathed into Adam's nostril, breath of life, it used the word ruach. God kind of ruach into his nostril. When the mighty wind of the Holy Spirit blew, the word mighty wind, the word that is used is pneuma. That's when during the Pentecost, when people received the Holy Spirit, it came in the form of mighty wind, pneuma. Some Christians say that George Lucas stole the biblical understanding of the Holy Spirit in his just Star Wars movie saga, may the force be with you. If you receive the force, you will be able to do a lot of things. Some people say that's a New Age stuff, but the Bible talks about Holy Spirit is a power that God is giving us in order for us to overcome, in order for us to become victorious in the journey on this earth. Holy Spirit is invisible, yet powerful like the air. Air is a force with an incredible strength. It can snap trees into two or demolish a landscape. Given enough velocity, air becomes devastating wind energized by hurricane or tornado. When we're living in Texas, we had tornado. And it just brought down the whole fence. It was a metal fence. It was able to just bring down the whole fence. It was crazy. And it just wind, strong wind. If you contain the wind in a certain network of hoses and valves, and put it under enough pressure, it can bring a massive commercial bus or truck trailer rig to a screeching halt. It will even stop a locomotive pulling over 100 cars. It will break a thick concrete on a driveway or a freeway if it's pushed through the right tools. It will loosen or tighten the lug nuts on your car wheels if funneled into the right mechanism. Air is invisible yet powerful. You can't feel it, you can't see it or smell it, but it has power. It keeps us alive, and it keeps us going, and it gives us power. Simply put, the wind of the Holy Spirit gives us life, gives us power, gives us significance in our lives that can be so insignificant without Him. Without the presence of Holy Spirit, we cannot survive a single day as Christians. The fact that I'm still a Christian is due to the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, the issue is not whether the Holy Spirit is powerful or not. He is. He will be powerful. The issue is whether you are connected to His power or not. The only way that we can receive the power of the Holy Spirit is if we are connected to Him. In the beginning of service, we recited the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit. When you believe in the Holy Spirit, you ought to believe also in His power as well. You see, He is still active in our lives, and He's asking us to hand over the keys and hand over the lordship so that He can lead us, He can help us, He can empower us. You see, there are a few things that He's still doing right now today. Where we are right now. He is a comforter. In John chapter 14, Jesus begins a verse this way. I do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in the Lord, trust also in me. Jesus is saying, don't worry. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Trust in me. And then if you go down to the verse 16, this is what Jesus says. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. You see, going through the life, going through the hardship, there are times that our hearts are troubled, our hearts are afraid, and in those times, we need to turn to the counselor, to the Holy Spirit, who will comfort and help us. When you have a comforter, a helper, counselor, an advocate, let's see it this way. When you have legal issues, legal trouble, it's good to have a good counselor, good lawyer, good advocate, someone who will represent you. Someone who will speak on behalf of you. Holy Spirit, His role as we go through the journey of life is just that. That we don't have to do it alone. That He will be with us. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says this. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You see, God desires to give us comfort. It's really hard to have comfort these days, being where we are today. Just like yesterday news and today, I'm hearing the news in all these different cities. There are protests, and it's not just a peaceful protest. It's violent. Things are being burned, looted, and people are dying. It's really, if there's one time in history, in our lives, that we need comfort, it's times such as these, times of trouble. And the Holy Spirit is the one who nudges us to do the right thing. You see, because we ourselves, we were sinners. We were forgiven of our sins. Yet we still have this residue of evil within us, sinfulness within us. If left alone, we will do evil things. So we need Holy Spirit to nudge and speak to us in order to do the right thing. John 16, 13 and 14 says this, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." That's what Holy Spirit does. He leads us to truth. We need to know the truth. We need to live by the truth. We need to be led by the truth. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Not by my experience, not by my expertise, but by the Word of God. You see, it says the Holy Spirit does whatever God speaks to him. According to the Word of God, Holy Spirit will lead me to the truth. Holy Spirit has a way of always leading my life back to the Word of God. If someone says, "I have experienced Holy Spirit, yet it doesn't really go well with the Word of God, but, you know, this is Holy Spirit speaking to me." That is not the Holy Spirit speaking. That is my saying what I want to say. Holy Spirit always has a way of leading us back into the Word of God, back into the Bible. Holy Spirit is the one who reminds us to repent when we go astray. Holy Spirit is the one who leads us back to restore our relationship when we want to run from God. You see, the Holy Spirit is not some cosmic power that we need to experience only when we're doing ministry. No. Holy Spirit is to really be embodied, to be followed in our daily walk. If we only feel him during the revival and special meetings, then we're missing out the greater power of God. People follow Jesus in order to see signs and wonders, and Jesus called those people wicked. If we only understand Holy Spirit as the one who will shake us, rattle us, and make us jump up and down and have this physical manifestation, we are boxing him in as some experiential power that only those who are chosen ones, those who are great, and those who are just privileged experience. God gave Holy Spirit to each one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. If we release him into our lives, if we let him, and if we follow him, you will experience great things. I may be ordinary, but someone who is being led by the Holy Spirit will live an extraordinary life. Do not box God in. Let him free. Follow him. Instead of asking him, "God, just let the Holy Spirit lead," you know, instead of asking him, "God, I want to do this, so have Holy Spirit help me." No, that's the wrong way of praying. The right way of praying is this: "God, whatever God is leading me, wherever the Holy Spirit is leading me, let me follow." And in order to do his task, in order to show his power, Holy Spirit gives us just the fruit of the Spirit. These fruit, nine fruit of the Spirit, which is mentioned in the Bible, it begins love, joy, peace, and gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All these nine fruit of the Spirit is not to be enjoyed by the tree, but by others. Someone who is led by the Spirit, someone who is born of God, someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit, lives his or her life, not for his own sake, for the sake of other people. Just as when we're connected to God and we bear much fruit. That fruit is not for its own consumption, but the consumption of people around. That's what we're called to do. On this Pentecost Sunday, as 2,000 years ago, people who received the Holy Spirit went out and spoke in tongues, giving message of life to others. We are given the same task. While the world is filled with message of hatred, that we are to bring message of hope, message of life, message of light, message of Jesus Christ. In order to do that, we need to surrender what we have, what we've been enjoying, to God, to the Holy Spirit. And on this Sunday that we are remembering the coming of the Holy Spirit, we want to really live a powerful life. Do not journey alone. God is with us, and God will be with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful for who you are. You had this whole thing of salvation planned out, and you carried them out according to your purpose, and just the sending the Holy Spirit so that we don't have to journey alone, but with the Holy Spirit we can receive power, that we can live our life not as aimlessly, but as a powerful sons and daughters of God. Father, may I yield my life to the leading of Holy Spirit so that you will be praised and I will be truly honored and empowered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.